Moncrief on News Talk.
I'm delighted to say we won't do the usual tedious, boring interviews you normally do on Outside Broadcast. Barbara and Declan are here!
Yay! Live people.
Are you ready? Tediousness here.
Yeah. I'm a woman in my mid-50s and I'm a widow. My beloved husband passed away more than a decade ago, and while it was extremely tough at the time, I and my two children, now grown up, have managed to move on with our lives. In the last few years, I've gone on a few dates. I was even on a dating app for a while. Most of the men were nice, but a bit boring. One or two were creepy. I had come to the conclusion that romance was permanently gone from my life until a new man started working with me. He's funny and extremely handsome. He's tall, which I like, well-read, and a great conversationalist. Even without realising it, I soon found myself flirting with him, and he with me. On a recent work night out, we kissed very passionately. Since then, we've been exchanging texts, which have become increasingly erotic. He has sent me a picture of his penis, which I understand is quite common nowadays. But here's the problem. He's 27. So it's a new penis. He's 2 years older than my son. I'm also his boss. She's probably regretting she sent in this question now. I don't think it will be a happy ever after scenario, but should I have a fling with him?
And the audience,
we don't even need to say anything.
Yeah. We should do this. I'll just put it to a vote. Dump them or not.
Yeah. It's populism in action.
Yeah. I'm kind of with the audience on this. Like, you know, my first reaction is go you, Mrs. Like, tall, good conversationalist, good looking. Do you know, you don't really want much more than that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about sending pictures of your penis. I'm not sure that that's... It wouldn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Because aesthetic... Oh, never mind, I won't go there.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. No, I mean, my first reaction was, yeah, go you, Mrs. That's great. You know, you're a widow and your man sounds fabulous and everything. And I'm no expert here because it's a long time since I've worked in a corporate kind of workplace. And when I...
No, just... I'm not laughing about your CV. I'm laughing about where you're going to go with it.
All right.
About what you send and email.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, it was kind of a free-for-all. You could have a fling with whoever the hell you wanted. It didn't matter how married or unmarried or what age difference or any of that. But I think now there's a bit of an issue on the power dynamic thing.
Yes.
So she's the boss and he's the underling.
Yeah. Very much so.
So it's only from that perspective. That and the penis picture. They'd be the two things that I'd be a bit wary of. So my advice would be, I think she should chuck him back in the sea, because when it all goes pear-shaped, it's going to be a problem if she's the boss and, you know, he's still in work and all that.
She doesn't send him any pictures, though. She's got the penis picture. So that's power.
But she has the power anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
She's the power anyway. She doesn't need the power. So I would urge caution, even though I don't really want to. I want her to go and have a great time. I'd tell him to stop sending penis pictures, because I tell you what, all the women in here will know, they're not aesthetically that interesting, are they? No, they're not.
No.
Yeah. Give up on the penis pictures.
Yeah. There's a round of applause there.
Yeah.
Any men here think they have a pretty penis?
Yeah.
You know, self-love begins at home, you know. I was totally amused because the audience completely were hitting all the points as that letter was read. There was the kind of the shock, the age, but then, oh, actually, that's not so bad. The thing about the sending the pics, I thought the interesting point about the pics wasn't so much that it was sent, it was the kind of almost nonchalant, non-judgmental attitude to what's going on. Kind of going, yeah, whatever, not for me, okay, that's not important. And I hope that the woman can apply the same kind of lack of judgment to her own, you know, experience in life, that she can just go, yeah, okay, maybe she is in her own mind a little bit older. She's only 50-something. So what if she's hooking up with somebody who's,
that's not
a problem at all.
That's grand.
I do agree with you. The thing about the power dynamic in work can be a... can be not just can be a potential problem in the future, it can also be what's driving the thing in the first place. So the whole thing is that...
But now, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're a long time out of a corporate workplace as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
the George is hardly a
I'm on LinkedIn, you can see my CV if you want to know exactly how long. Yeah, come on.
But like, couldn't HR get involved in a situation like that if it came out that you were having a fling with somebody younger?
Yeah, it might actually be in people's contracts that you're not supposed to do all that. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. But we've talked about this before. I don't think, though, that that's really where this woman's feelings are. I think the real essence of this problem is that she's a bereaved widow, as she called herself, who's kind of coming to terms where she is in her own life. I wanted to remember that she's still young. She might not be as young as the 27-year-old, but she's still really young, and there's still so much.
I don't think she's any problem with her age. You're giving her a problem.
No, I'm not.
All she did was she said she was in her mid-50s.
She's talking as if that she doesn't have any kind of...
No, she does.
...choice to be having a frivolous...
No, she said all the men that she came across up to now were boring or creepy. That wasn't a reflection on her. That was a reflection on the men, right?
That's dating, though. I mean, it's like all kinds of dating is just... rubbish for most.
That's
people,
why it seems
know?
A shame to throw this guy back in the water, but I would. I think she needs to err on the side of caution.
She's already kind of gone into it to a certain point that there's a lot of stuff that's happened already that's probably already
it's
problematic.
Passionate kissing and dick pics.
At work. At work.
A lot. What?
I don't know. I haven't read her contract, but I could say she could possibly find that he leapfrogs her and he's her boss in the future as well. So there's all, you know, don't do things with people at work. It's not.
Yeah, no.
Like I've always said to you, Barbara, the workplace is the workplace. It's not a place for intimacy.
I've respected that, Declan.
You're good. I'm just saying it because we do have a nice glass of wine right now, and I want you to remember.
So are you both saying no?
Yes.
We're saying no.
No. Gráinne says legally that's a big no. Yeah. For a fling or romance, you could get sacked. It's going to end in disaster, says another texter. One of them on a night out is going to get too drunk and do or say something. And somebody else says she sounds like a bit of a wagon.
Why is she a wagon?
Just because she's a widow doesn't give her the right to have a toy boy and slag him.
Is that a man?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Penis pics are so bloody common these days, it's horrific. How am I supposed to react when I get one? I don't know. How do you tell them apart is probably more the difference. So no.
Really. No.
Yeah.
No, we're saying no. I think her own... I think she needs...
Sorry.
To sense
yeah. Yeah. Kind of because you want to say yes to that woman, really.
I want to say fair play to
yeah.
her.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You know, fair play to her, yeah. And I want to say to lads, up their game. Don't be creepy and weird. You know, there could be love out there for her.
I'm the main breadwinner in our house and have been for many years. My husband drifted between jobs, quite unable to make his mind up what he wanted to do. And recently finally made the decision to become a house husband and mind the kids. And that's fine. I support him in that. He's reasonably okay at cleaning and laundry and hasn't poisoned the children with his cooking, so that's all fine. The problem is money. We have a joint account that I put all the money into to pay for all the household bills, but now he's demanding that I give him some sort of allowance for looking after the children, a kind of salary. Why should I? After all, he's the one who couldn't be bothered building a career. Should I reward his laziness?
Oh. Laziness.
Yeah. Off you go now, be careful.
Yeah.
Obviously, my gender is going to cause a problem for me being able to understand information. But, I'm also gay, which means... I see things that other people can't see. So anyway, look, obviously, if... this person who wrote the letter in doesn't value the work that their spouse is doing in the home, and doesn't think that that's worthy of an amount of money, that's something I think is wrong. I would be interested, though, in if the stuff that the husband is doing at home had to be farmed out to somebody who they were hiring and paying money to, would they expect that person to do that for nothing? I think often what happens in relationships is because you want your relationship to be in a relationship of equals, then suddenly when your perception of what's happening with what the other person is doing or their perception about what they're doing themselves kind of tries to imbalance that relationship, you can run into all kinds of clashes. So I think the real crux here isn't about what the individual people are doing, it's whether or not as a kind of a unit you're kind of getting towards where you want to be as a family and all that kind of stuff. So from that perspective, I kind of say, be careful what you're saying. I understand that some people believe that because somebody's an artist or somebody's, you know, a stay-at-home mom, that they're not as effective in society as somebody who's a solicitor or a barrister. I don't subscribe to that particular point of view. And I don't think society would function if that was the only way things would work along. So from that point of view, I'm saying you sound like a bit of a...
Wagon.
Yeah.
Am I
allowed to say wagon on
Yeah, those yeah. texts are coming in. Yeah, she's getting a wagon. She's getting a big wagon vote here. Yeah. Someone says, typical feminist. If this was a woman staying at home, we'd be all about praising her. But because he's a man, he's judged.
This woman is not a feminist.
No.
And I say that as somebody who absolutely is definitely a feminist. And this letter proves that chauvinists aren't all men and feminists aren't all women. Mm-hmm. Because to be Ooh. A... Yes. Yes. It took me ages to come up with that sentence.
Very good.
You should get that
winner.
Winner,
yeah. I'm going to get a T-shirt. I'm going to do a whole line of big bags and everything with that written on it. But anyway, because the issue here is, and if you're, and sometimes feminism doesn't really embrace this, is that the work of running a home and looking after children is work. We live in a society, a patriarchal capitalist society, that says unless work is producing wealth, it's not work.
Yeah.
It's just some other kind of stuff. And as you say, society wouldn't work if somebody, whether you're paying a childcare person or a creche or you're doing it yourself, society couldn't work unless there was somebody looking after children while people are working or looking after older people or people who are vulnerable or whatever. So that's the first thing I'll have to say. She's definitely a wagon. So your husband is doing work and he's raising the kids and he's running the home. And as you say, if he wasn't doing that, they'd have to pay somebody to do that. Not only do I think that he should be given some kind of remuneration for that, and I say this as somebody who did it for 10 years, and I remember when I walked away from the previously referenced corporate world to stay at home looking after my kids, I sat down with my husband and we had a very frank discussion, which is what I think all couples should do. And I said, if I'm not earning anymore, and up to that we were earning equally, I still have access to the money. Just because you're earning it and I'm doing the other stuff at home doesn't mean I'm not right. I'm not worthy and I'm not worth it because I'm worth it. So not only do I think that he should have a salary, I think he should have just access to the money. I think he shouldn't have to ask or put his hand out. I mean, I remember my mother, like in the 70s, you know, getting the housekeeping every week, which was to pay for the groceries and a little bit left over in case she needed a new bra or a pair of knickers. And that was it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if feminism is about anything, that should be included in it, that people who are at home, it doesn't matter what their gender is, looking after kids, are working. And if the other partner is out earning the money, they're only able to do that because one is staying at home. And the person staying at home should have access to the money. Yeah.
Is there, though, another issue here in their relationship? She doesn't seem to respect him.
That's kind of what I went
with
when I was talking about what kind of job they have, because a lot of people believe that just because... I first of all, I do 100% agree with what Barbara said, that the value of something isn't the price of something. That's really important that we recognise that sometimes we have a way in society of pricing things in a way that kind of gives it a lie as to its real value to society, and we don't put a value or a price on something that has an immense value. That thing aside, I think people's choices, maybe the two of them in their lives, they meet when they're young and they have a lot of chemistry together and they have, you know, kind of immediate goals and aspirations that are the same. And as they go through life, one person has a career progression and they're within their career. I've always wanted to be a doctor and I'm a doctor, yay. And the other person is, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up and I don't think I've grown up yet. And those two kind of personality types can be really good chemistry in a relationship, but they can be kind of function really badly as a unit trying to get things done on a day-to-day basis. So there needs to be a little bit of compassion that you recognise why you're with somebody and also recognise that what you're with somebody for is the thing you're doing together and not what individual people are doing by
And there's
themselves.
Also another thing, as an owl one who's been married for 150 years, is that nothing stays the same. You know, this is the way they're jogging along right now. The kids will grow up someday and they won't need to be minded. But she might have some other issue to deal with, which will cause her to stand back from work and him having to pick up that slack and go out to work. So, you know, you need to have that, you know, respect for each other and that ability to work as a team. Because I don't understand why you bother setting up shop with somebody, whether you're married or not, and getting a mortgage and having kids if it's not about teamwork. It has to be about teamwork and about valuing all the input into that.
We talked before, and I think you're an all-in, everybody shares all the money thing. I think that there has to be an element of, like, somebody has a little bit of private space within a relationship. I don't know whether that only applies to money, but there needs to be a zone where you feel you're still you.
Oh, I think you should have private space, but I think you should have access to all the money.
Right, we'll squeeze in a third one. I'm very worried about my recently retired husband. Luckily for him, he managed to be able to give up work in his 50s, but he's had a very strange reaction to this. He keeps trying to recapture his youth. I wouldn't mind if he bought himself a sports car, but he's dressing younger. He's taken to wearing T-shirts and baseball caps and skinny jeans, and he's not a small man. Even when the jeans split up the arse when we were in Tesco, he didn't get the message. He doesn't say hello anymore, but yo, and now he wants me to go on a rave in a forest during the summer. He says we can take pills and have a trip, as he puts it. He also wants us to have sex out there and says I should wear crotchless knickers to accommodate this. The crotchless knickers are a hard no from me, but what should I do about the rest?
Men are gas,
aren't
they?
Sounds like a youth problem, Barbara.
Yeah. He sounds like a me problem. Yeah. Well, I'm dealing with similar, although my husband's...
Wow.
Yeah. No. No. I'll come back to the crotchless knickers in a moment.
Yes.
No. My husband decided literally after Christmas that, and he wouldn't be the most... how will I say this? Because he might be listening. He's not the most trendy kind of person, but he decided... He's a photographer. He's decided he wants to be a drummer. And he bought drums. So I now have a drum kit in our shared office, which he looks at. Apparently, he does bash on them occasionally. But, you know, so that's his midlife crisis. Although he did do the sports car a little while ago, and that died a note to death. But anyway, so, like, what this woman is describing, I think, isn't that unusual. And I don't really... Are skinny jeans cool, though? I would have thought skinny jeans
Now, somebody
jeans
says they've
cool.
gone out.
Yeah, no, I would have known that. Yeah. So I don't think he's... I think he's kind of a bit wide of the mark with his baseball cap and his skinny jeans. The thing that worries me about this... is the medications, or is there whatever she said,
taking pills in the forest.
Because when you get to kind of into your 50s, you might be on medication, so you'd want to be careful.
It might react with the statins.
Exactly. So you'd want to be careful about going into a forest and popping pills and sex outside. Do you know, again, great crack on tip, but it needs to be sunny and warm and dry and not have spindly things on the floor and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So a blow-up mattress maybe and a blanket
and your
might
man
be
trying
nice.
To squeeze out of the skinny jeans.
Well, he seems to be half out of them anyway since they burst in Tesco's. I did say I'd come back to the crotchless knickers, though. Yeah. Now, I've never deliberately done crotchless knickers, but I did buy one of those bodies once, you know, that hold you all your bits in, that have poppers on the bottom, and I got very inebriated when I was out at night, like not during the day, and I couldn't fasten the poppers again, so I just left them.
Mm.
It's not an altogether unpleasant experience. So,
there you go. That might be a halfway house.
Yeah, I think she would give it a hard no.
Yeah,
the hard no is a bit extreme. I think that it's like with most requests in relationships, you have to listen to what they're saying, think about how far you're willing to go. Maybe not directly into the forest, but you can go to like a lightly wooded area. and so, you know, maybe like some kind of seasonal mushrooms, maybe, and some cheese from France.
Yeah.
Get a little bit of kind of...
Nice bottle of wine.
Nice bottle of wine. Get the feelings going. But, you know, one step at a time, and don't just say no to everything.
Or get a camper van.
Which what?
A camper van. That I'd like, you know, because then it has all the, you know, you wouldn't get wet or damp or have spindly things up your arse. All
right, we're killing his fantasy there, though.
Yeah. Are we?
What does she have to say to him to calm him down?
I don't know, but I think she should try the crotchless knickers.
Okay, and nothing else.
No, try that.
No,
that
pills.
That might sort him out.
Okay, one final. Hi, Barbara and Declan. Can you fall in love with someone you've never met? The thing is, I've become obsessed with a certain Irish radio star. And before you say it, it's not Sean Moncrief.
Ah, Sean.
I'm sure you're nice, Sean, but you know. Anyway, this has been for me for many years. I hear him every day. I know what he looks like. Once or twice, he's read out comments of mine on air, and every fibre of my being thinks we could work together. He's single. I've checked. Am I a stalker?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You think it's you she's talking about, do you?
No, because I'm not single, Barbara.
Yeah,
I've checked.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're hitched. Yeah. So what are you just saying? Yeah, she's a stalker, is that it?
I'm just saying that there's something a little bit unrealistic about the whole process, and that's kind of the essence of stalkers, is when they think they have a connection with somebody that they don't have a connection with. And I don't want to crush their dreams, but I think that's not a very realistic basis to have a relationship, regardless of how good looking they are.
I'm worried about Sean. I don't know, like, what does it... I'm sure you're nice, Sean, but you know... What do we know? Like,
I don't know.
Are you all
right? That means, yeah, I'm,
okay?
I don't know, I'm fine.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm just paranoid. Like, who's she talking about? She's clearly not talking about anybody in 2FM because there's nobody left there. But who is she talking about? Who's a hot guy on radio who's single?
Well, she thinks he's hot, but we don't know what that, you know, what her version of hot is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, as long as she keeps it all in her head, that's fine. But I would like to say to her, with all due respect to everybody on this stage, that, like, there's a performance element to radio, even when you're sitting in a studio.
Yeah.
So, you know, her presenter that she has the fantasy about in her head might only bear a passing resemblance to what he's like in real life.
Yes.
When you take away his microphone and his red light. Mm. He mightn't be half as exciting as she thinks he is.
He mightn't even know as much as he appears to know, because
that's
he's actually reading it from a piece of paper.
That's what paper is.
Yeah.
That's
a given.
Absolutely.
You know, on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so sorry to burst your bubble, love, but you know.
Yeah.
Barbara and Declan, thank you very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.